720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians, they know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
And all the Sandra and all you do, going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. First hard fact of the day, the presidency and sports ministry have reversed the decision to withdraw Nigeria from international basketball. Remember, we talked about it here before I went on leave. We talked about how they decided to yank our teams out of competition because of a factional crisis in the NBBF. Our basketball players and fans and other stakeholders were really upset by that decision, and they've been mounting pressure on the government to reverse it. Now it has happened, but it has happened too late for our women's basketball team. They're the African champions. They had qualified for the upcoming World Cup, but after the withdrawal, FIBA replaced them with Mali. I was speaking with Sarafina Napoleon, and she confirmed to me that this means that the government's latest decision has come too late to get our girls to the World Cup. So my question is, what was gained by this decision? Anyways, unlike this own goal that just cost us a World Cup appearance, 1 million Lagosians cannot be wrong. So if you witness a story or a news event that you want Lagos to know about, call us on 01465-7175. Only if you have a news story that the world should hear about, that number takes you directly to the newsroom. Don't call to ask for Sandra or ask for Sheriff or ask for the techers. Just call if you have a news story that we should be covering. 01465-7175. I have a great show for you today, starting with the big three. Let's talk about corruption allegations against Tinubu and Atiku. And then let's talk about Ekweremadu's arrest in the UK for attempted organ harvesting. And then let's talk about Senate defections to the NNPP and Labour Party. Throughout the big three, I also want to hear from you about how the fuel scarcity is affecting you. If you're watching our live stream, you have seen several pictures of people in different fuel queues, you know. I saw a picture, for instance, of somebody in the fuel queue. The attendants handed out pieces of paper with a queue number for each car. And the person whose picture I saw on Twitter, I believe it was the number 52, you know. So I'm wondering what the queues are like in your place. Have they disappeared? Are they still there? How much are you buying fuel? How much do you buy today? Talk to me about that also during the big three. On today's Eyewitness, we'll also take your stories about what's happening in your different parts of Lagos. We can also talk some more about PVC collection. We can talk about the fuel scarcity, all of that from 4 p.m. You and Chukwudi Ezeugu. On the big hard fact, let's talk about some of the governorship races in 2023. I'll take you to River State and I'll take you to Kano. Now, at 6:15, after the news has ended, you and I have 15 minutes to talk about some of the things that we discussed on the show today that you didn't have the chance to call in and share your thoughts on, your opinions on. So don't go away. 6:15 to 6:30, before Iriti Bakari Yusuf and Lisa Legosian take the air, you can give me a call and talk to me about all of those things. But yes, expect news, business and sports at the top of the hour every hour. But let's get started with the big three. Now, before we get started, I do hope that if you have a 12 to 16 year old and they can debate and they can win you 1 million naira, get them to audition for us. If you are that parent or you are that teacher or you are that auntie or uncle or brother or sister and you have a 12 to 16 year old sibling or child or pupil, well, not pupil now, student, because they're in secondary school, I do hope that you have gotten them to audition for the August edition of I Beg to Differ.
You could be four debates away from 1 million naira.
Good day, honorable judges, our ever attentive audience.
That's the Majority Oko debater.
We've crowned three I Beg to Differ debate champions.
My name is Sanvita Kaushik.
I'm Ruth Okorocha.
My name is Bawa Desa.
And if you want to be the fourth,
in fact, it even gives you a new global perspective.
The quest,
the 1998
begins
during the 2015 election.
Now. The auditions for the next I Beg to Differ debate tournament are on. It's open to all secondary school students in Lagos aged between 12 and 16. Just go to www.nigeriainfo.fm and click on I Beg to Differ and follow the instructions. Auditions close 3 p.m. July 12th, 2022.
This is The Big Three.
The Big Three.
On the Hard Facts.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Have Tinubu and Atiku properly answered old criminal allegations? Is Ekweremadu's arrest a sign of a larger child trafficking culture among Nigeria's elite? Could APC lose its Senate majority to defections? Those are the big three. Lagos, let's talk. Now, fuel scarcity is not one of our big three stories, but it's still a really big story. So at any point in this hour, if you want to talk about it, call me. Tell me how the fuel scarcity is affecting you. Now, our first story is a Bloomberg story. They just published an article about PDP's Atiku Abubakar and APC's Bola Tinubu, the two frontrunners in the presidential race. Bloomberg's piece asks whether anti-corruption will take a back seat during the campaigns because both men have corruption allegations hanging over them. And Bloomberg goes into detail on those allegations. I don't know if you've read the article for yourself, but here are some of the things that the article touches on. For Bola Tinubu, Bloomberg has resurrected a legal dispute that he had with the IRS in Chicago. That's in the U.S. in the 90s. IRS is the Internal Revenue Service. That's the USA's own FIRS. And according to Bloomberg, the IRS had gotten warrants to seize almost $2 million in Tinubu's American accounts because they believed that the money was tied to drug operations. Tinubu is said to have disputed the allegation. Eventually, according to Bloomberg, Tinubu and the IRS settled the matter, with Tinubu allegedly forfeiting $460,000 of the $1.8 million dollars that was initially under investigation. Tinubu and his camp have not yet responded to the article from Bloomberg. However, Jibril Gawat, media aide for Governor Sanwo-Olu, tweeted a link to an allafrica.com article from 2003. The article claims that the U.S. consulate in Nigeria wrote a letter confirming that it had no records of an FBI investigation into Tinubu. Now, I need to point out two things here. First, we do not have the letter itself, just an article referring to the letter. Second, the article says that the letter refers to the FBI, not the IRS. And these Bloomberg allegations are about the IRS, not the FBI. So we're going to keep looking into this situation and we will wait for a comment from the candidate's camp. Now, the Bloomberg also mentions the lawsuit filed by the founder of Alpha Beta Consulting. That article, it mentions a lawsuit filed by the founder of Alpha Beta Consulting, alleging that the company has been making illegal payments to Tinubu from its revenue or its revenue contract with the Lagos state government. Now, of course, Tinubu's team have always insisted that those allegations are unsubstantiated. And then there's Atiku Abubakar. Bloomberg has resurrected the allegations that he was connected to a bribery scandal in the U.S. government while he was vice president. A U.S. House of Reps member, William Jefferson, was eventually jailed for helping U.S. companies pay bribes to Nigerian and Ghanaian government officials to secure contracts. In his trial, it emerged that Jefferson had told a witness that Atiku had indicated interest in receiving such bribes. Bloomberg also cited a second case where a U.S. Senate report claims that one of Atiku's wives helped him bring over $40 million into America. The Senate report labeled the funds as suspicious and also alleged that $1.7 million out of that money was directly tied to a bribe from Siemens. Bloomberg also claims that Atiku wasn't permitted to enter the U.S. because of these allegations, and that this ban was temporarily lifted during the 2019 campaign because the U.S. government believed that he had a credible chance of becoming president, which of course leads to a lot of questions about the seriousness of the U.S. government as an anti-corruption partner to Nigeria. But that's a conversation for a different day. But of course, neither Atiku nor Bola Tinubu have been convicted of a crime connected to these allegations. But this is one of the biggest stories in Nigeria at the moment, this article. Now, having laid out all of this backstory, the Bloomberg article predicts that because of all of it, neither the PDP nor the APC will make corruption a campaign issue. And I want to know if you agree with this prediction. I also want to know if you think that the candidates have answered these allegations to your satisfaction, or do you believe that there's nothing for them to answer at all? And like I said, feel free to talk about the fuel scarcity crisis that we're currently facing. How much of a factor do you believe corruption is in the problems that we face as a nation? Do you think that parties or candidates who face corruption squarely are better off than those who cannot? Do you think that a party or a candidate who cannot face corruption squarely can be expected to solve our problems? So take fuel scarcity, for example. One big issue with the fuel matter is that over 40% of subsidy money is going into fuel that is illegally sold in other countries. Another reason we don't have enough money to pay for subsidy is the corruption in the oil sector, where we have all of this crude oil getting stolen. So can we solve these problems without tackling corruption? That should be a debate topic. But talk to me, Lagos, 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We're still going to talk about Ekweremadu's arrest in the UK for attempted organ harvesting. That's coming up in a few minutes. But right now, let's talk about this Bloomberg article taking a look at allegations against Bola Tinubu and Atiku Abubakar. 99.3, hello.
Yeah, President Sandra, good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
Thank you. This is your senior special advisor on the radio.
Okay, what's your name?
Quick one, Chris.
Chris, welcome. Go ahead.
Quick one, the owner of the ruling party, why now? Even the one of PDP, why now? The DSS or whoever, those who are fighting corruption, they didn't know about this. Why must it be Bloomberg, or what did you call that?
Bloomberg.
Why must it be those ones who come and tell us what is happening? And for one of them, I said it, I don't know why the advisors can't tell them the truth. Why did it come out? Things we don't know about him, we hear it, now it's happening. And now they will say it's allegedly, right?
Well, they are allegations. Yes, they are allegations, so.
You see, that's where the problem lies. None of them are fighting corruption. Even the man that is there now that is going. What did he say 2016? At the end, what happened? The thing is even worse. So the ball is in Nigerian court. If we decide to get this set of people back there, well, good luck to every one of them.
All right. Thank you very much for calling 99.3.
Hello.
Hello,
Sandra.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name, sir?
Good afternoon. You have about this on the line.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Yes. I want to talk about the fuel scarcity first.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I want to say that, for instance, the current fuel scarcity is artificial because there is enough PMS in the country to last for the next 21 to 25 days.
Okay.
And another thing I want to correct.
Hmm.
2 days ago, Sheriff in the morning, he said that Nigeria does not have a strategic reserve that is responsible for inflation, that we cannot keep enough PMS. Please, scrap that. Nigeria is a country, and as industry rules, we have the capacity to store 45% of PMS. I mean, 45 days usage of PMS in this country. Okay?
Okay.
So, for industry room, basically, you must have a minimum of 30 days supply, which is guaranteed. And Nigeria has over 2 billion liters of PMS as I speak today.
How do you know this? How do you know this?
The depot manifests are there.
Okay.
You understand? The depot and the holding bay manifest guarantees it.
Okay.
You understand? Okay. About two, three days ago now, the scarcity was severe. This PMS now that you are using now, if you go to the gas station, almost all of them have PMS. When did it come from? You understand? Mm. I am telling you and providing data for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it?
Okay.
Then another thing, the president of the LNG Marketers Association,
mm-hmm.
all what he said when he was being interviewed by Sherry,
mm-hmm.
in the next 10, 15 years, none of it will come to reality. You cannot bring people who are interested in commercial ripping the people off to tell you that they're working with the government of the day to bring down the prices of LNG. No. As we speak, you don't have domestic supply guarantee from LNG and the Nigerian gas company. You cannot meet it, not even to power your gas turbine. The best gas turbine we have in this country is the Gerugu gas turbine. Built by the federal government and bought by Ontario Cellular in the Kogi State. Do you understand? That is the best gas turbine station that we have in this country. They cannot guarantee gas supply. So that's a...
While I understand what you're saying, there is, and while I can confirm that there is enough fuel in the country, can that fuel be delivered to filling stations at the pump price without marketers running at a loss? So when we say scarcity, we're talking about scarcity at the pumps, not at the depots. Even yesterday and on Tuesday, we talked about how there's fuel at the depot, but it cannot be supplied sustainably. That's why there's scarcity.
No. Please, that is wrong. Again, there are fuel in the filling stations. I can't confirm that for you. The reason, let me just tell you something. We are in a regulatory regime. So the IPMA people, they are responsible. Let me just say it on air now. That they are responsible for this scarcity because of inflation that has come. They wanted their profit margin to be increased.
Yes, we're saying the same thing.
No. It's greediness on their own part. Do you know why? Because in this regulatory regime, their profit margin is well covered and significantly covered. So we should not get it different. It's not because of a war crisis in Ukraine or not. Because
all right, thank you very much for calling. I've been talking to you for over 3 minutes. I'll need to talk to other people. But I do think that you and I are on the same page. We heard from Ipman. They are saying that the bridge payments are no longer sufficient to sell at 165 Naira. Now, you can say, of course, they're being greedy, but you also have to look at it from the business angle. I will have a petrol retailer on the show with me next week, Wednesday at 5 o'clock. He and I are going to talk about this because we seem to be saying that people in this industry should not be making profits. They are a business, after all. Is it a charity or is it a business? Be here next week, Wednesday, 5 p.m. I'll have a petrol retailer on the show with me, and we can go into detail on that particular story. But thank you so much for calling us. 99.3, hello.
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, fine. Yes, yeah, Baye on the line.
Hi, Baye. Welcome. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just want to briefly support, just corroborate what Obaro has said right now.
Okay.
Just a little clarification. I need to let them, because I work in downstream as well.
Okay.
So I need to let people know that there are enough, fuel, that's petrol, at the terminal depot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But let me break it down. Why they're having scarcity? And, of course, I have affiliation with a lot of retail stations out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I told them, when we're discussing the Ipman, IBM, independent marketer, board and Ipman,
mm-hmm.
And I told them there is no point, right? At this point in time, there's no point in creating artificial scarcity because it's not skyrocketing. Let me tell you,
mm-hmm.
today, right now,
mm-hmm.
and this is my number, you can say, it's there, go to Apapa right now, we sell, a ticket of PMS at between 153 and 156, depend on how you get it.
Okay.
And before, when diesel, you see, the what's it called? The high cost of diesel now is the one causing this problem. And I explained to you briefly because of all that.
Right.
Number one, before, a local retail trucker, is just about 3 naira.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means, 3 naira depends on your volume. For instance, let's take 40,000 capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So that will give you 120,000 naira, okay?
Buyer, unfortunately, we have to take a break, but stay on the line. Let me get your number. And then next week, I'll invite you on the show so that we can have a conversation about it. Is that okay?
Okay,
is that
problem.
Okay? So stay on the line. Thank you. I have to take a break. All right, Lagos, if you just tuned in, hello to you. Our first story took us to a Bloomberg article, and that Bloomberg article had allegations against two frontrunners, Atiku Abubakar and Bola Tinubu. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about Ekweremadu, the UK, the arrest, and organ trafficking. Ike and Beatrice Ekweremadu have been arrested in the UK for allegedly trafficking a child for organ harvesting. That's our shocking second story. We first got the reports from the BBC and Sky News, and now various Nigerian outlets, including Nigeria Info, The Nation, Vanguard newspapers, are reporting that the Ike Ekweremadu in question is indeed the former Senate Deputy President. The UK outlets are reporting that there was an investigation by the Metropolitan Police's Special Crime Unit, Specialist Crime Team. They claim that the investigation was launched last month after someone alerted the authorities. The Ekweremadus were scheduled to appear in court today, and we're waiting to get more details from that appearance. But in the meantime, Nigeria Info reached out to Ekweremadu's spokes person, his media aide, Uche Anichukwu, and he told us that he needs time to get the facts about the matter. He, however, argued that what is out there is not the truth. Now, until we have all the facts, we will talk about how very shocking this story is, because it is shocking on many levels. There's a lot of speculation right now about what is going on, about what the exact details are of this accusation, but we don't speculate here on Hard Facts. So instead, I want us to restrict ourselves to a wider view about this phenomenon in general. Because this is not the first time that we've heard of Nigerian couples accused in Europe of child trafficking. Some of you may remember the case of Godwin Okpara. I don't know if you remember the story of Godwin Okpara, the former Super Eagle who, along with his wife, was convicted of child trafficking and rape involving a 13-year-old. And there are many other cases like that. We also have cases of wealthy Africans, not just Nigerians, attempting to traffic people abroad for complex organ harvesting surgeries. And it all speaks to a culture of disregard for life and a culture of disregard for children. The authorities in Europe and North America keep arresting a lot of Nigerians for these crimes, and yet more Nigerians are going over there and doing the same things. So I have to ask, what is it about our culture that makes a lot of people believe that if they are rich enough, they can exploit children in these horrible ways? And what is it about them that makes them carry out that behavior, carry that behavior to countries where laws day, strong laws day, better protection for children day? 0700-993-993-993. Without too much speculation about this current case, talk to me about this trend in general. But also, let's talk about the fact that a former Senate Deputy President is reportedly under arrest in the UK, and facing criminal charges. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01465-7190. We've got Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, WhatsApp 080-959-75805. Hello, thank you very much for calling us.
Hello.
Hello, thanks for calling. What's your name, sir?
From Oba.
Welcome, Akin. Go ahead.
Yes, so why is it not that the Bloomberg organization is trying to reveal all this to us? Why is it now?
Okay.
So we can throw away the water. We cannot throw away the... we can throw away the bath water. We will not throw away the baby together with it. Agreed.
Okay.
The message is that, okay, you have been alerted to choose wisely for these two, from these two parties, these two personalities and the rest, contestants. Fine.
Mm.
But the point is, American people too, they are aiding corruption.
Okay.
Honestly, why have they not alerted us? Why is it now? So their message is profound. We agree.
Okay.
I agree on top.
Okay.
But why is it by now that they are alerting us? And why is it that allegations are not substantiated? Why are they confusing themselves?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Akin, for calling. Kayede Samuel says, Sandra, this is more or less a clandestine attempt to smear the political aspiration of Bola Ahmed Tinubu, which competent court found him guilty of any corruption anywhere in the world. This is a man that has been severally and judicially investigated, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, and nothing has been found against him. This is unacceptable. All right, Kayede, thank you very much. We've got Moses on the line. Hi, Moses.
Hi, Sandra.
Good to have you on the
show.
Good afternoon.
Anyway, for me, I'm not surprised. The truth is that the love for money is extreme in this part of the world, that people do not even have regard for themselves again. And even looking at internet and TikTok these days, you will know the extreme people can go for money. So, investing children abroad, see, there is this thing these days that every day for the owner, I'll be one day for monkey, something like that. I don't know if you know what I'm trying to talk about.
Yeah.
So, the truth is that many people that you can never expect will do such are going extreme. And that's why it's even advised in the Word of God that do not envy anybody that is wealthy. See, I believe in something. I just pray to God that I should have money I can use to help myself and my family and even extend hands to the needy ones. Nothing more than that. I don't need to build mansion. The only mansion I would love to build, which I see many rich men out there, they are not wise, is to build a mansion and give to people that don't have a house to live there for life.
Okay. All right, Moses. Thank you for calling. We've got Akinwade from Houston who says it's a shame that a sitting senator will involve himself and her wife in this evil behavior. Thank God for countries with good law and order. What a wicked world. We've got a message here says... Sandra, I greet you. Hold on. Sandra, I greet you. Look, no amount of adjective the Whalers will use to qualify Ashiwaju Bola Tinubu. He's the next president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Those who are behind this wailing attitude towards Ashiwaju will be disgraced. Did you know how many times Obasanjo used all security agencies against Tinubu? What later happened? He and his cohorts failed. Tinubu is a special creature by God, and he had lots of goodies that he wants to give human beings. Tinubu won't be put to shame, but his enemies will be. And on the side of Ekweremadu and his wife, I won't say anything on that until I have full knowledge about what really happened. All right. We've got more messages on WhatsApp. Who is surprised about the allegations against Tinubu and Atiku when it's an open secret that our leadership is laden with corruption? We have not had any leader really ready to sanitize the society. All we see is just pretenses, and that's why there's stench all over the place. That's Steve in Ijani King with that message on WhatsApp. Tolu is on the line. Hi, Tolu.
Hello, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show.
Good. thanks. In reference to the aid to the governor, speaking on the absence of the evidence concerning the Jagaban, I'd like to say that the absence of evidence isn't the evidence of absence. Saying we don't have the letter doesn't tell us the fact did not occur.
Okay.
Great. Secondly, we should be careful not to fall into the same situation we are in presently with the presidential spokesperson.
Okay.
This man is an aide to the Lagos State governor, not a spokesperson to the Bola Tinubu campaign.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, Tolu. Thank you very much. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name, sir?
This is Marshall calling from Ikeja.
Marshall from Ikeja, welcome.
Yeah, I want to talk about Kuremadu.
Yes, please, go ahead.
If it is true that a couple picked up a girl for slavery, it should be very, very bad. And it's not only making her a house girl or house help, not for heart or whatever thing, heart transplant or heart sales. It's very, very bad. But all the same, I won't say anything until we get the facts. Because that very thing should be murder charge. It's not ordinary criminal charge, but it's a murder charge because that very charge belongs to somebody. So thank you very much, Nigeria. As it is, politicians, I don't know.
All right. Thanks for calling, Marshall. We've got Adefemi Akinsonya. She's the international correspondent for Arise TV. And she just tweeted that Ike and Beatrice Ekweremadu have appeared at Uxbridge, a court in Uxbridge, Uxbridge Magistrate Court. And the alleged victim in this case is a homeless 15-year-old boy who was brought to the UK by Mr. and Mrs. Ekweremadu off of the streets of Lagos, Nigeria. Ekweremadu has been denied bail. They have both been denied bail and they've been remanded to custody. The case has been adjourned to July 7th. All right, it's a quickly evolving story. So the more we know about that story, the more you will know about that story. Onyeka is on the line. Hi, Onyeka.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sandra.
Welcome.
Well done. Okay, regarding the allegations on our two political bigwigs, I think, you know, in this country, the issue is that ordinarily, the citizens ought to be protesting by now that we refuse it, we reject it, that we are being put to, you know, no options with these political parties by giving us these two people. From what we know, we don't really need an outsider to come and give us, you know, an evidence of, although the law determines, you know, who is really, really guilty or not. But at this level in this country, Sandra, we can stand together and say enough is enough to some level from what we've seen that has transpired in the political space. So this country, if we are truly tired of what we are facing, as in all around, if we are tired, we ought to have come together now and protest and say, INEC should allow the masses pick who they want to rule them. At least give us that benefit that when we rule the person and the person is not doing well, it's not even automatic for the person to be there for 4 years or 8 years. By the time we watch you, first 1 year, second year, and something should be done to remove the person. That's how it should be, because where we are now is not a place where we should be doing Amala and Gary and Indomie and Richard Card campaign and policies that brought us where we are now. The country should be protesting about these two people. Without even looking at what Bloomberg or whoever is giving us, we should be protesting. I know that people will come and say whatever they like, but from what we know as individuals, from our situation, God, from what we are facing, Nigerians, we shouldn't be suffering. We shouldn't be lacking food or work or anything. So we should protest. There are reasons for protest here now.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. Let me bring you our final story and then let's go to town and keep talking about all three stories. Shall we do that? I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, by the way. If you just tuned in, we've talked about corruption allegations against Tinubu and Atiku brought to you by Bloomberg. We've also talked about the Ekweremadus being arrested in the UK for attempted organ harvesting. We've just heard now that they've been denied bail. We've heard that the boy they brought to the UK, allegedly brought to the UK, was homeless, 15 years old, found in the streets of Lagos. Now, all four front-runner parties for the presidency are now represented in the Senate. That's our third story. Both the Labour Party and NMPP picked up a senator after defections from the APC and the PDP. Senator Francis Ezenwa of Imo East crossed from PDP to Labour. Senator Haliru Jika of Bauchi Central and Lawal Yahya Gumau of Bauchi North both crossed from APC to NMPP. The APC lost two other senators to the PDP, Francis Alimikena of Edo North and Ahmad Baba Keita of Katsina North. By the way, that's President Buhari's senatorial district, so the president's home senator is now in the opposition. Now, in spite of these defections, the APC is still the majority party in the Senate. They hold 67 out of 109 seats, by my calculations. I may be off by one or two seats. I'll have to, like, really think about it because the picture is changing very, very fast here. So if you have a better figure, let me know. But to keep their majority, APC needs 55 seats so they can, be majority, which means so that means by my math, they can afford to lose 11 more seats based on my math. I don't know. But could they lose 12 seats and lose their majority? The Punch says it's possible. I was reading an article on The Punch, and they're reporting that up to 20 APC senators are considering dumping the party. Now, if you recall, a lot of sitting senators and reps lost their primaries in both the APC and the PDP. So there's been a lot of buzz that some of these lawmakers are open to defecting to the two other mainstream parties, Labour and NMPP, to keep their seats in the three-arm zone. We're also hearing that the APC National Chairman, Abdoulaye Adamu, met with senators yesterday to try and dissuade them from defecting. Of course, this is not a new thing. It happens quite often right before elections. In 2014, it was in the lead-up to the elections that a lot of the PDP lawmakers crossed to APC and PDP lost majority in the House of Reps. So this is something that's quite common with our politics in Nigeria. What I'm asking you is if you think the APC could lose either the red or green chamber this year. Do you think Labour and NMPP will gain enough lawmakers to become even more competitive in the general elections? Now, I have Feta sitting beside me. Her energy is so nervous. She keeps turning to look at me. She keeps flailing her fingers like she wants to say something. It's very distracting. So I'm going to ask you to go and sit over there, please. Thank you very much. So that I stop like looking like, oh, she wants to tell me something, or she wants to call my attention, or she wants to. Thank you very much. All right, good. Go away. Thank you. The number to call Lagos is 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. I've given you our three stories. Which one do you want to talk about? They're really explosive stories. The first one took us to the US, where Tinubu and Atiku are facing allegations of corruption or corrupt practices. I read to you excerpts from the Bloomberg article. It's available online. You can read it for yourself. Then we talked about Ekweremadu's arrest in the UK for attempted organ harvesting. We just heard that they have been denied bail. He and his wife have been denied bail. And yes, we have confirmed that it is our Onike Ekweremadu, the former deputy Senate president. So they've been remanded to custody. We're keeping our eye on that story. The more we know, the more you will know. And I just told you about the senators who have defected to the NMPP and Labour Party. Do you think that the APC could lose its majority to defections? We've got OC joining us from Canada. Hi, OC.
Hi, Sandra.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. So, I'm mostly calling from Canada. First story was on. So I'll just start from the last one. So about the defections, I just wanted to tell people out there, you know, when this whole campaign started, they said, "Oh, you know, there is no chance for a third first. There's no chance for a third first. Well, I just have to say 8 months is a long time. If within 1 month we've seen the political activities in Nigeria disturbance, then 8 months is a long time for anything to happen. Like, the two major parties could become minority. We don't know yet. So it's too quick to conclude on it at first. And then secondly, on Ike Ekweremadu and his wife, the courts can only, you know, decide if they're guilty or not. But let's understand that a country like the UK and then the border forces can't just make allegations. I know we use alleged, but they can't just come up and say things like that if they're not really sure. So there is some element of truth in it. And it only justifies there was a research that was done some I think last year that talked about this whole money ritual and stuff like that, and how they say, oh no, it's not truly money ritual, it's just organ harvesting, right? But they tell you to bring like two people for like to sacrifice, and then you get like 20 million. They said no, they just harvest their organs and sell organ. Like, the organ market is so huge, and then just one kidney, if they tell you how much for, like, you'd be so surprised. So yeah, we'll keep following it. I can't really say if they're guilty or not, but let's understand the UK will not just make, you know, silly allegations like that for politics or, you know, whatever reason. So yeah, and then for the first case, I've forgotten the first case. Okay, I'll just.
Thank you for calling. Let's leave it at that. Remember, if you're abroad, you can join the conversation via Skype. Our Skype ID is Nigeria Info FM. Nigeria Info FM. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening. What's your name, ma'am?
This is Joy Collins.
Welcome, Joy.
About the allegations of corruption, I don't know why we Nigerians defend what is wrong. So you want to tell me the money that these people spend in this country is their father that work it and give it to them? You don't know what they do to acquire those wealth that you have said this one is a cent, the other one is a cent. Continue. God will judge. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Toyo C on Facebook says, this Ekweremadu saga may be a setup. He recently endorsed the PDP for the Southeast against all odds of threats by IPOB. FG must ensure that all investigations regarding this saga are thorough and truth is upheld in the end. Okay. All right. Interesting comment there from Toyo C. So did they, what was the setup there? They placed the boy in the street for them to allegedly carry to the UK, or I'm trying to understand what you mean there, but okay. Nah, Blessed is on the line. Hello, good to have you on the show.
Hello, President Sandra.
Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Where are you joining us from?
I'm joining you from Israel.
Okay.
And this is your hard facts.
Welcome, go ahead.
Welcome back, Sandra, because I've been missing you all this while. But then, that is bad. Sandra, what a day. What a day. Tinubu article. They call it allegation. And I have listened to a lot of comments who are saying all sorts of things. But I don't blame anybody. This is who we are. This is who we are. Because if it were to be in Nigeria, even Senator Ike Ekweremadu, who was being arrested in the UK, they will tell you, he's a former senator, let us allow him go. Let us give him, grant him bail. You know, he's a senior citizen and all whatnot. This is who we are. It's unfortunate. Now, I listen to a lot of comments. People still want to remain in that spot where we are. Tomorrow we'll start complaining again. They are alleging to me, somebody is asking, why is it now? When is it going to be? Is it not when we are ready to tackle some corruption cases that is eligible for us to talk about? Are we supposed to be reminded that these people, this is an allegation? Let us investigate this thing. Let us put them aside and look forward and even choose more credible people that will lead us. Is it not what the country is all about? All over the world, all over the countries, Nigeria is a very rich country. It's just mismanagement. I don't think if you count about 2-3 countries in the whole world, that Nigeria will not come into it, but mismanagement. We mismanage all our resources, and we are where we are today because of corruption. And we are saying we are fighting corruption. They are labeling people, Atiku Abubakar, Suwaju, and people will still come out because of sentiment, because of emotional support. They will tell you it's wrong. Why is it now? When is it going to be, Sandra? Ike Ekweremadu, it's a pity anyway. I don't know what to say about that.
Nablus, so, thank you very much for calling us. All right, let's take a look at messages on WhatsApp. We have this one here. Sandra, the story is real. I missed the court hearing due to train driver strike. I will get you more updates later. Okay, we have someone joining us from the UK. I love the listeners of this show. You people are so involved. Patrick from Obwa says, is there any satisfaction of wealth in humanity, especially Nigerians? None of them is innocent in this whole issue. I think the country will not play politics with any of them. The word corruption is in their bloodline. Their cops could be fooled one day. All right. People that are saying, why now? Sandra, no time is late. Better now than in the future. We've got a message here that says, James Ibori was exonerated of any culpability by Nigerian courts, but the UK courts found otherwise. Our hypocrisy won't allow us to see the evil that brothers do. Kayodu from Ikotun says, Bloomberg did not give concrete and substantial facts on this story. This is the work of mischievous people. Okay. We've got Prince Aloy who says, obedient is divine. Those working against him will fall first. Mbaka second. Ekweremadu, God will save us. I don't know what you mean, but thank you for Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, let's take another break. When we come back from this break, I'll take more of your thoughts off of social media, and I'll also take some calls. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We've brought you three stories on today's Big Three, and boy, are they big. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Nigeria Info 99.3. Don't go away.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.